This is tape number 95A30. It was recorded on October 26, 1995 at 10 a.m. in Estes Chapel at Asbury Theological Seminary. The message is by Dr. David Sherard and is entitled The Aroma of Christ. This recording was produced through the facilities of Asbury Theological Seminary in Wilmore, Kentucky. Please do not transcribe into manuscript form or generate other copies without expressed written permission from Asbury Theological Seminary.
I'd like to bring greetings to you from Lexington Theological Seminary, where I think we view ourselves, I hope you might too, one of the sister seminaries next door to you and part of the Team A Consortium. Also being a United Methodist pastor, this allows me also to kind of come back to home here a little bit, and I'm in that strange land of all those Christian Church Disciples of Christ folks there. They're wonderful folks, but it's nice to be here with you. A couple weeks ago, your president, Maxie Dunham, came to give us an excellent lecture. I hope he felt he was warmly received. I know from behind the scenes that the students really appreciated having an opportunity to have him in our midst and to hear his message that he brought to us in an excellent hour convocation. So, thank you for letting me be with you, and to my special thanks also to the work for Dr. Headley. It has not been easy for him to coordinate this day of Team A representatives to be here, and I'm honored to be able to be with you in this hour of worship. Will you join me in prayer? Oh God, in these moments of worship, may your fragrance spread that comes from knowing you. Like bread baking in an oven, may the aroma of Christ, we who are one body, one loaf, spread over all of us this hour. Amen. A couple months ago, we had two ministers from New Zealand, husband and wife team, that came to speak at our seminary, and they introduced us to honing. That is a way to greet one another if you're in New Zealand. And since a picture is worth a thousand words, I'm going to have to give you a thousand words because I don't have a picture to do it with, but basically, they touched foreheads when they greeted one another and then parted. Well, often when we greet, we might kiss one another, or the kiss of peace. But what was moving about that was the recognition that the New Zealanders have that when they hone one another, when they greet one another, there is the recognition that they're breathing each other's air. And how intimate that is, that here in this hour we are breathing each other's air in this room. And the recognition of how our lives are so intertwined and interdependent with one another. But not only with one another, but intertwined and interdependent upon God who called us into life, God who leads us in our life, and our hope for the future that we know through Christ Jesus our Lord. This past week I came back from visiting my parents in Seattle. It had been a year or a little longer since I had seen my aging folks, and when I came and kissed my mother hello, I knew it was my mother. I could have been blindfolded, not from much the kiss on the lips, that I would have remembered too, but I knew her fragrance. There's a certain perfume that she wears, and I know when she enters the room, and I knew I was home with my parents. A few months ago, I witnessed another kind of honing, if you will, when your president was installed here. and I was fortunate enough to be invited by my seminary to be a seminary representative and able to come and sit and be here in front to witness his installation to this very fine seminary. And there, I witnessed a pledge that he was taking. It was much like a wedding ceremony. And you better believe it was a wedding ceremony. He is now, and his wife is now, wedded to Asbury Theological Seminary. He took a vow, and there was questions asked of him, of his faith, of his commitment, and of his commitment to the education of preparing men and women for Christ's ministry. And then there were some kisses here. It was a spontaneous thing that happened. And then afterwards at the reception, there was a lot of greetings and hugs and kisses. The celebration of breathing each other's air, because we use kissing in our culture, not honing so much, to recognize that we share one another's air. And now, for the leading into the next century, Dr. Dunham is your president, leading you into the 21st century. Well, it's fitting that we take a few moments, I think, this morning anyway, to look at our own ministry. And as many of you are preparing yourselves for a variety of ministries, some of it will be lay ministry, some of it will be ordained ministry, but each of you in your own way are called by Christ to be part of the body and to be ministers of Christ once you leave these sacred halls to go into the world. And that's not to say that many of you right now are not involved in ministry, because all of life is ministry. I don't know how you define the word. I define ministry as God creating. To be in ministry is to witness the act of God creating here and now. One of the questions I love to ask people, either be it in my office in some pastoral counseling, or be it with students, or sometimes just dinner conversation, because it's a good way to spoil a dinner conversation with this question, but I might ask someone, how do you believe that God created you? And most people, even if they're not very religious, yes, I believe God created me. It's the second question I like to see the look on their face, because usually it's a dumbfounding kind of look. Well, how is God creating now in your life, right now? How do you identify that? And for many folks, a look of puzzlement comes over their face because, well, yeah, God gave me life, God created all this. It's kind of a done deal, but what do you mean that God is creating now in our lives? Well, in the story of Genesis, there's two stories. We're very much aware of those passages are familiar to people outside of the church as well as inside of the church. But we have here, in the very first story of creation, it talks about Ruah, of the Spirit of God, the breath of God, moving over the face of the earth and calling forth creation. And in the second creation story, you have in which God takes soil and clay, molds, in this case, man. And when man is molded, God goes, and the breath of life is breathed into man. And there is life, and there is God creating in that moment. If you will, God honing. If you will, the kiss of God giving breath. God's Spirit still moves over the face of the earth. And I've worshipped in this sanctuary a number of times. And I know the spirit that's here, and I was looking forward to the hymn singing, and I was not disappointed this morning. And the organist here, a fantastic organist, and the choir, and you can't be in here but be alive to hear that singing. And that spirit of God that moves over us. And so, yes, we can look back and say that God breathed life in Adam. Then Adam was lonely, and God breathed life into Eve. And God breathed life into Cain, their children, and Abel and Seth. And through all the years, God continues to breathe life. And here today, and you all have a time when there was that first moment, that first breath that each of you took, and the gift of life, the gift from God was given to you at that moment. It's a unique individual time for each of us. And most of us celebrate that by celebrating our birthday, which is God's day of calling us into life. I got to hold a great niece and meet her last week when I was out in Seattle. And the second time I got to see her, the first time I got to see her was the day she was born. I thought, what a coincidence. An hour before our flight took off, we were able to run into the hospital, had word that my niece had given birth, and I see a little young infant sleeping here on her mother's chest. And I got to hold a newborn, just hours old. I don't know if she had breathed more than 1,000 times yet. And to the delicacy, and there was a smell to her breath and to her being, and there was a sacredness that just filled the room of being almost witness to her birth. And a couple years have gone by, and she's got a little look in her eye now. She's going to be a handful for my niece. I'm kind of glad for it, actually. Some things come around, but those are sacred moments. And then I'm mindful of a good friend of mine who's become a good friend that I met through a pastoral relationship, whose five-month-old baby, mysteriously and unknowing, died of SIDS 5.5 years ago. Sudden infant death syndrome. Don't know why. Put the baby to bed like they have every night, and they went to get the baby in the morning, and the baby was dead. No more breath. There was death. And 5 years later, this couple still agonizes over the loss of that baby. And it has greatly shaped their life, and it will shape their future. It is part of their future as they try to embody this suffering of what happened. But not only is that symbolic, how death enters life, death entered life quickly as we look at the creation stories, if you will, of the difficulties between Adam and Eve and the tree of knowledge that they took part of, what happened when their son Cain killed Abel. And we can talk about the drama of human history of when death has entered the life and when sin has entered the world, and how God has been with God's people, and our accounts in the Old Testament of God leading His people out of Egypt, and how we have the law given to us, which at that time in human history was another revelation of God. But God was creating and trying still to call forth life, was creating, and then with the birth of our Lord, of when Jesus, who we claim is the Christ, was born, and then the teachings of our Christ and the experience of Christ in the world, that we see evidences of God creating in the midst of life as this unfolds. And we, through Jesus Christ, we all know and have new life. And I don't want to spend much time on the sin and the death part this morning, because we know that. On the other hand, it's like preaching to the choir this morning, but there's times to recognize and affirm God's creating breath in our midst, that God is breathing over the whole planet and is breathing in this room now. And through Jesus Christ, we smell the sweet fragrance of life rather than the stench of death. But we all know the stench of death. So the first question God was creating when God blew breath into your lungs. God was creating when you were nurtured and loved by your parents, by your school teachers, by your ministers, by the people that loved you. God was creating when you were baptized. God was creating when you joined the church. God is creating as you are studying here, deepening your preparation to be one of God's ministers, either as a lay person or as an ordained person. We affirm, which we're about to affirm again in Advent and Christmas, Emmanuel. God's with us. So with St. Paul, as we read this morning, as Dr. Headley read, thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads in every place the fragrance that comes from knowing Him. Fragrance. Interesting. The fragrance from knowing Him. What does that mean? Well, back in Old Testament times, there was the fragrance from smoke, from sacrifices, but we have a new revelation. We no longer sacrifice animals in the temple for God. So we're not talking about the sacrificial burnt offerings and the fragrance that spins off. The triumphal entry? When I've been at St. Mindred, I've had the privilege as a Team A Association to teach there several different semesters. And sometimes in their formal service, as they're having the procession of the brothers and the monks that are coming in, and the incense that is swinging, there is a fragrance that fills their worship center. And is that the procession of triumph? Well, there is a triumph, yes, that you and I know about, but it's not the triumph that the world thinks about for the triumph. The world was anticipating Christ to come on a white horse, but as we know on Palm Sunday, our Lord rode into Jerusalem on a lowly donkey. And so the fragrance is not of military triumphalism, nor is the fragrance of national triumphalism, nor is the fragrance of denominational or even religious triumphalism. Rather, it's the fragrance of the baby Jesus. And you all remember, because you've all held babies, what babies smell like. There is a kind of a clean order most of the times. And you also know how each of us, the old adage, we are God's hands and we are God's feet. And there's truth in that, that we're co-creators with God. And here Paul says, as God breathes life into us, we become God's breath in the world. And in that sense, we become the fragrance of God in the world. In verse 15, for we are the aroma of Christ to God. Isn't that an interesting image? We are the aroma. I don't know how many times I've read that and I didn't see this. We are the aroma of Christ to God, among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Well, I know when I'm in my mother's presence. I know when I'm in the presence of God. But there's also a danger, and there's been times in my life, and you probably have similar times, when I haven't been a pleasant aroma. And there's been some stench, and there is stench in our world. There is the stink of racism. The Million Man March is only but one symbol to bring to our awareness of the dividedness that we have among peoples just within our own land, let alone in our world. When the Pope was visiting us and the Roman Catholics were struggling with the division among the sexes and whether women can be ordained or not, and I don't know how I might think about all those things, but we as Christians need to be in conversation about all these things. And their agony because they happen to be the wrong sex cannot be ordained, and the Pope's and the Church's position on that, and the division that happens then between men and women. And then we know the division of the have and the have-nots as our own legislature in our country right now is dealing with. Where do we cut the corners? How do we deal with the haves and the have-nots? And what will happen to those who are without resources in our country? And as the United Nations is meeting and having a celebration, we know about the stench of the torn world. We know of the stench of war in Bosnia. We know of the stench in wars that happen in South America, that happen in Africa, and even the wars that kind of happen a little bit in our culture. There is a lot of stench that's also in the world. And when something is perishing, when something is decaying, you all know what that is. When you got that something in the back of the refrigerator and you open that door and it hits you, you know you have to go through and find that. When something is perishing, it stinks. And our world stands in need of the aroma of Christ to transcend that which smells. But you... Me, each of us in this room are called to be the aroma of God because we're the aroma of Christ to God. God's Spirit still moves. God is still breathing life into creation. And seeing here and seeing your faces and seeing the excitement and hearing, God is in the midst of creating now in this midst and in you. And if you believe that, then there is another kind of a question that comes that Paul dealt with too. Who is sufficient for this awesome task to be the aroma of Christ in the world? And Paul answers and says, "For we are not peddlers." Another translation says, "We're not hucksters of God's word like so many, but in Christ, in Christo, but in Christ we speak as persons of sincerity, as persons sent from God and standing in His presence." Those who are hucksters, the world will soon smell them out for what they are. We're not hucksters. We're not peddlers. We are people trying to live our life in Christ, and as we're open to Christ in our lives, we start becoming the aroma of Christ to God. And we have that confidence because of being in Christ. And being in Christ, then we don't have to be haughty. We don't have to be super salespeople, to be manipulative. Rather, we speak as persons of sincerity, as persons sent from God with that authority, standing in God's presence. You smell the bread in the kitchen cooking, and we've all partaken at the Lord's table. We have embodied that loaf. And that aroma of the one loaf, the one bread, the one body of us all in Christ, that aroma of bread fills this room. My prayer is, may you and may I always be the aroma of Christ to God that gently spreads the scent of love of Christ wherever you go. Go in confidence, knowing that you are in Christ. Be persons of sincerity and have the confidence that you are sent from God and that your breath, as it mingles with other people's breath, becomes the breath of God, that eventually the aroma of Christ fills all corners of our world. Thanks be to God. Amen.